Welcome to the CCFR Radio Podcast, your source for news, updates, and stories from the CCFR.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to episode 78 of the CCFR Radio Podcast. I'm your host, Rod Giltacka. Thanks for joining me again. Now, today's podcast brought to you, as usual, by Vortex, the power of optics. So thanks very much to everybody over at Vortex Canada for continuing to support the podcast. We truly appreciate it. All right, today on the show, it's going to be the same format just because I thought I wasn't going to be busy, but I can't, for some reason, I can't not be overwhelmed with work. I don't know what I'm doing to myself or who's responsible for this, but anyway, we've had the same format where I give you guys a quick update of my own. I bring on Tracy Wilson. She gives us an update from her side because we're the two people that do the projects, right, at the CCFR, and then I end it off. So I do want to say this. I just finished recording my chat with Tracy Wilson, and it's about 30 minutes, so it's long, but it's totally worth listening to. We talk about a couple of things, even a couple of difficult topics, and there's a lot of discussion, and it's genuine discussion. Like none of this stuff is scripted, and I think it's really worth your time. So if you're cleaning guns or driving or whatever, you know, just put it on in the background and listen to it. It's going to be quite entertaining and interesting to think about. Anyway, as far as my update is concerned, I really want to talk about one thing, which is Gun Ban Canada Exposed. So as you guys know, we have a television show. This one's more work than the show's ever been for me because I'm writing the entire show. I'm securing the guests, all of the dialogue, the points that the guests have to, you know, take on. I'm performing as the host of the thing. God help all of you. I'm the weak link in that part, obviously, because as you guys know, I'm not a trained or professional broadcaster, right? I'm just some clown, you know, with a video camera, right? So that's sort of the weakest part of the show, but at least you know it's genuine, right? But the show, the reason why I wanted to bring up the show is episode one came out. It's gotten very positive feedback, you know, very positive response. I may have said this in the last podcast. In case you haven't heard it, I should probably go over a couple of things real quick. The show is a four-part limited series. They're 30-minute episodes. They premiere once per month. The next episode is coming on or about November the 1st on Wild TV. And the next day, it's up on the CCFR YouTube channel. And the show is a deep dive into the foundational arguments for liberal gun control. So basically, Bill C-71 and the sweeping May 1st gun ban. And basically, we take one piece of their argument that they've been using, and we spend 22 minutes of television content debunking it. We bring on experts. We, you know, we reference things, news reports, statistics, everything. And I'll tell you, it's the best work that I've ever done. And I think it's the best work that the CCFR has done as far as television is concerned. You know, that's advocacy, right? And I'm really proud of it. And it is the tool. I think it really fulfills the promise that the CCFR made when we started, that it is the tool that you need to go change hearts and minds. So now I'm going to digress just a little bit, and then I'm going to come back to the show and why it's, you know, what's so important about your role in all this. So when the CCFR started, we said, hey, you know, everyday Canadians certainly know that gun owners are angry. They certainly know that gun owners are getting things taken away from them, but nobody really understood. And nobody ever lifted a finger to change that, you know, and I was one of those people. I never even had a gun before. And I'm like, I don't care if gun owners lose their guns. I don't own a gun. And it was really, truly that simple. And is that right? No, it's wrong. But, you know, you have a lot of competing. There's a lot of competition for people's attention now more than ever. You know, this isn't the 90s anymore, right? And it's even more important that gun owners have a public relations organization, you know, a education advocacy through education organization, which is CCFR is. So when we started, you know, we did videos. I did all those videos personally in my home studio. So they're okay, right? I mean, they're miles above anything that gun owners produced before because the bar was low. Nobody really produced anything, right? So, you know, I can pat myself on the back all I want. But if you think of broadcast television versus the stuff that I can do or have done in the past, you know, I'm horrible, right? That's the, you gotta be honest with yourself if you're going to move forward in life, right? It's, you know, it's not great. But it was what we had. Then we did explainer videos. Then we got into television. I did mini documentaries. We did a couple of mini documentaries on television as well on top of that. And I, you know, I'm happy with what we've done, but I never thought it was the tool that we really needed. And that's what's different about this show. So when you take a topic like, you know, oh, you know, it's all about safety, right? It's all about the women at Polytechnic. It's all about the victims here and the victims there. And, you know, and so it's very easy to virtue signal when you're talking about someone else's tragedy. And that's what the Liberal Party does. That's what the NDP does. The Greens, nobody knows what they do, but you know, that's what people do. And it's very easy to respond to that because I think Canadians generally are just good people. So of course they're concerned when they see people getting hurt or killed. Of course I'm concerned about that stuff, right? We're all the same that way. And so, you know, with episode one, we addressed the idea, like, is this all really about safety? Is there any evidence that we can point to that it's not about safety, that it's ideological? They don't want, you know, people like me and you, we don't get guns. We're slaves. We're plebs. You know, we belong tilling the fields and sending all the food upwards to the king, basically. And now I'm being a little bit hyperbolic. I'm overstating for sure. But the ideology is there. It's just like, well, you're a nobody. You don't get a gun, right? And they're like, well, how do we justify that? It's like, well, it's about public safety. See over here what happened, you know, and is there any evidence that that's not true? And so in this format, I have 22 minutes along with the assistance of a television network and an outside producer that's done this kind of work before and editors. And now I can actually create a tool that fulfills the promise that we made 5 years ago when we started the CCFR. Now, I know that was a long way to say it, but that's really what it is. Now, when I say it's a tool, it brings me to the most important thing that I want to say to you right now. So I know a lot of you have heard this before, so you can tune me out for a couple of minutes. People are like, well, why is it on Wild TV? You're preaching the converted. And for number one, I'm not preaching the converted because the overwhelming majority of the audience of hunting channels, they think that people that own AR-15s and handguns are the reason why they're in trouble with the government, right? They don't even know this stuff either. You know, they need to understand that we are only the tip of the spear. We're the first to lose our guns and the government's not going to stop. When the government's not taking your guns, you're 100% confident that they're going to stop just short, that the bans are going to stop just short of the guns that you own. That's what they think. And I get it, right? I totally get it. But that's not true. So they need to talk into as well. They need to know why this is a problem. They need to know that they're being lied to as well. But the most important thing is not the audience of gun owners, whether they need an education or not, or they need some other insight or another opinion. It is non-gun owners. So here's the thing. These episodes, and the reason why I negotiated this with Wild TV to be able to release them online immediately after they air on Wild TV is because this is the tool. The CCFR makes the tools and you deploy the tools. This is the relationship. And I'll preempt what I'm going to say now with, if you don't deploy the tools, you don't do everything you can with the tools that we're giving to you, then don't be surprised when this never gets reversed. Don't be surprised that, you know, should the conservatives ever get a minority or a majority, that they don't repeal gun control. Because if the everyday voter thinks that gun control equals public safety, they're going to continue to vote for it. Okay. Now the mechanics of that, how you roll that back is you educate people. The CCFR can't do it by ourselves. We can produce that stuff because you guys are funding us. I can afford to do these things because you are providing the funding for me to be able to do it, to go make deals with Wild TV or with Sportsman Channel Canada, right? But the mainstream media will never give us the audience that they will to anti-gunners. It's just not going to happen. I've been trying for 5 years. They pay attention to us because they know they have to, right? At some level. Because they don't want to look so biased. So they have to give us an audience here and there, but we will never get more than 10% of the coverage that anti-gunners get. I don't even know if it's even that high, okay, to be honest with you. So, and a lot of times they're working against us, right? Not all the time. There's some good journalists out there, but a lot of times they are. The majority of the times they're working against us. So what does that leave? It leaves you taking the tool, like the first episode of Gun Ban Canada Exposed, and looking through your Rolodex, looking through your phone, it's like, oh yeah, my cousin Dave, he's been fighting with me. He's always on, you know, the liberal Facebook groups, you know, spreading all of their stuff. And, you know, I need to send this to them, you know, or it's your cousin, or it's your parents, or it's your spouse, for God's sakes. These tools are designed for you to send directly to someone and say, listen, do this as a favor to me. Do this for our relationship. Just watch this and really think about it. This is what I'm trying to express, but I'm not a professional at it. The CCFR is doing it for me. That's why I'm a member, because I want them to have the resources to do this on my behalf. But you guys have to spread it. So episode one has just under 32,000 views in about 2 weeks, just under 2 weeks, which is good, but it's not good enough. It needs to have 100,000 views. So you need to take the initiative. You need to go through your life, figure out, you know, the guy at work that you were arguing with gun control, and you both left feeling like you never really got your point across. This is meant to get your point across for you. Because I'll tell you, to do these episodes takes a tremendous amount of work, because I have to research everything. I have to write the scripts. I have to tell those stories. I have to find the guests. I have to perform all this myself. It's a lot of work. It's taking up basically all my time, in addition to everything else that I have to deal with at the CCFR. So use these tools. They do no good to us sitting on our YouTube channel with 30,000 views. You need to literally take that link and send it to somebody and then follow up with them. Just go, did you watch it? Like, well, I watched it for a while. Like, dude, you promised me you'd watch the whole thing. Like, just do me this one solid. Watch the whole thing. You know, this is what I'm living with right now with this whole gun control thing. All right. Like, you have to do that foot soldier work, or it's just not, or don't be surprised when this never gets repealed. Okay. Like I said, so I'm going to be spreading this word even more on firearm forums, spread on social media. Maybe I'll make a couple of extra videos about it. It is critically important. You must do this work, because the media is not going to do it for us. So anyway, I beat that to death. Next episode is coming up on or about November 1st. Like I said, I might not have said this, because I did do a couple of takes, because I get a little passionate and I start rambling. But the next episode is, where do crime guns come from? You'd think, like, the, you know, 50 hours I spent on that episode, you know, I had no what it was about, but I'm working on the one after that now too. But it's, where do crime guns come from? Like, the real story. So anyway, it's really interesting. I can't tell you exactly how effective it's going to be, because I haven't seen the final cut, because in television you have to cut a lot of stuff, because it has to fit exactly into 30 minutes, including commercials, like exactly, like down to a tenth of a second. So think about how hard that is when you're like, okay, if we let this guy finish this sentence, it's too long. If we take that sentence out, or these three sentences out, it's too short. So anyway, quite tricky with television. It's a really difficult format to use. Anyway, I've talked about long enough. Thanks for hanging in there for that. I know it was boring. I'm going to bring on Tracy Wilson right after this. Hey, everybody. This is Rod from the CCFR. In 4.5 years, we've created the most sophisticated and influential firearm rights organization in Canadian history. And when I say we, I mean our team and all of you who have trusted and supported us financially and as volunteers. Together, we've produced television shows, made our presence very well known on Parliament Hill, and taken on the anti-gun establishment as never before. We are in unprecedented times in Canada and around the world. Our goal is to continue to develop the CCFR into an even more formidable organization to better fight for your right to own and use firearms when stability returns. If you can afford it, please continue to support the CCFR by keeping your membership current and/or donating. If you are unemployed, do not do these things. We are an organization with values, and family comes first. If you're in this situation and you still want to support the CCFR, do it by sharing our explainer videos, the podcast, our reports, or our TV show, which is now available for free online on the CCFR YouTube channel. We can come out of this stronger than ever. Look after yourself, your family, and your community. And thank you for supporting the CCFR in any way that works for you. All right, on the Skype, I've got Tracy Wilson from the CCFR. Wilson!
Kill Taco!
All right, that's over with. Okay. I'm okay. I'm okay. It's starting to slow down a little bit, so I can start attending to all of the things I've been neglecting because of
how ridiculously busy we've been with ad campaigns and the march and
yeah,
you know, media stuff and our own media stuff and lawsuits and you name it.
Instead of working like 15 hours a day, now we're working like 10, and it almost feels like I have nothing to do, right? So it's totally alien to us, but yeah, we got to enjoy it while we can.
Yeah, I felt it slow down a little bit, but I definitely am not in a position where I have nothing to do.
Right.
All I'm doing now is I'm trying to get ahead of things that that I've been really struggling with. So, and you know what? We'll talk about one of those things right now. Episode one of Gun Ban Canada Exposed recently aired on WOW TV, and then of course we put it up on the CCFR YouTube channel. I'm super proud of that. I think it's some of the best work that we've ever done as a group. And what did you think about the episode?
Well, I got to say, so the TV shows have traditionally sort of been your lane, and I try and stay out of that because it's not my forte. I like the politics.
What an NRA-inspired thing to say. You must be funded by the NRA.
Stay in your lane, Gil Taka. But yeah, I'm totally funded by the NRA. Of course I am. So I got to say, I have watched both the other projects that we did since the May 1 gun ban, which of course was Gun Ban Canada. That was a two-part thing. And then Broken Trust. And those were great. And, you know, I related with the things people were saying and, you know, but it felt a lot like gun owners kind of sitting around commiserating. And I mean, that's okay, because we're all affected by this and we're all upset. However, I don't feel like they really spoke to the general public the way I was hoping they would. And then comes along Gun Ban Canada Exposed. And I was supposed to watch it live on TV. I, of course, fell asleep waiting for it to air at 11:30 and was so mad at myself. So the next day, I couldn't wait to watch it online. And when I watched it, I, you know, made the kids leave me alone and turn the phone off and just everybody leave me alone and let me spend 22 minutes watching this. And I'm telling you, it was the most impactful thing I have ever watched. If you guys haven't watched it, I'll put the link out on social media again just to refresh it for everybody before episode two comes out. But it was meaningful. It was impactful, you know, and I think it really relates to everyday Canadians. They can watch it and they can understand better. And you are right. This is by far the best work that you've done yet. Like, I love it. I'm so proud of it, immensely proud of it. And the caliber of people that you're speaking to and just the some of the simple but overlooked things that we could do to make Canada a safer place. It's just mind-blowing, right? So I don't know. I loved it. I can't wait for episode two.
Yeah, I thought it turned out really good. But anyway, I guess the original point was, now I can get ahead. And actually, because things have slowed down enough for us, no marches and all that other stuff, we're contracted to do four episodes with WOW TV. And now I'm actually in a position where I think I can sign up for another four because I have material for 16 of them.
Yeah.
Because there's so much that's, you know, so many myths, so much propaganda out there, right?
There's so much to expose. Yeah.
Yeah, there absolutely is. And this format works because I can actually present, like, you know, this is not what I'm saying. This is what is. So yeah. Anyway, I'm really proud of it. So
yeah, me too. And I, people who are following us on social media on our official accounts, the CCFR accounts, I've been sort of taking little clips of the guests who were speaking. There was MP Glenn Motz. There was Peter Merrifield from the National Police
Federation.
Yeah. Of course, Marcel Wilson from the One by One movement and the lady from 988. And I made little clips and I put those out and then, of course, included the link for the full video just to entice people to watch it. And just those little clips, like I watch them and honestly, I get goosebumps. And it's not, you know, it's not a gun thing. This is Canada and we need to do better to make our country safer. So yeah, make sure you go watch those little clips too. And you can find the links there to watch the full episode.
Yeah. Well, it's the difference between the politicization of public safety and the reality. And unfortunately right now things are so polarized and politicized that we're not even addressing reality any longer. It's just politically, does this work? Great. We're moving forward with it. Is it going to work in reality? That's irrelevant.
Well, it's kind of funny that you bring that up because, you know, I was looking at Twitter this morning, you know, and there's this account at No Guns in Canada. And of course, their whole idea is to have no guns in Canada, literally not for anybody, except, of course, law enforcement. And No Guns says here, the key to persuading public opinion about the value of an outright handgun ban is emphasizing the public danger posed by portable concealed guns. And then, of course, tags in liberals, the Greens, and the NDP. And when I read that, it's almost like he's giving instructions, right? Like, here's how you can make it politically palatable to Canadians. Here's how we sell it to them. You know, instead of looking at real solutions for safety, you know, that's the idea behind the tweet. So there's an account on there I followed for years at CZV416. Her name is Evelyn Fox, and she is the mother of a victim of gun violence. Her son was shot in the head and killed in Toronto outside a nightclub, and it's never been solved. And she retweets No Guns in Canada and says the key to educating Canadians that a gun ban is futile is to be real and to let them know that my son, and she puts this all in caps, my son would still be dead if there had been a gun ban in place. The gun did not kill my son. The person who illegally obtained it with bad intentions, who pulled the trigger, killed my son. And I read that and I went, oh my God, like it's so savage to even read because she's right. Like she goes on. I said to her, this is very difficult to read because you're right. It's true, right? Like I wish things were different. And she goes on to say, me too, I wish there was this much attention being brought to addressing the significant problems that make people pick up a weapon. And her and I have had this conversation over the years multiple times. And it's interesting because she's 100% right. We've got, you know, the various gun organized pro-gun, whatever you want to call them, organizations in Canada, like the CCFR. You've got the anti-gun organizations. You know, we've got tens of thousands of Canadians contributing to our organization to try and help preserve their sport and their rights. Then you've got the other side and they're getting all this big funding from America and, you know, all this stuff going on the two sides of the table, all this focus and resources and attention and work going on. And meanwhile, here you've got the victims of violence, like the actual real victims of violence who are saying, you know, look, we're gun bans aren't going to do anything for people like us and for people who are living with this every day. We need to start looking at the root causes or nothing's ever going to change. My son would still be dead if there had been a gun ban in place. And to read that and just, I don't know, I don't know. I feel like she's right. And it you know, we can't stop what we're doing. We've got to continue this debate. But the fact that that's exactly what it's been reduced to is a political debate instead of looking at what we can do to help save Canadian lives is devastating to me. And I know that, you know, I've been to multiple events and, you know, workshops and things with Evelyn and she gets it, you know, it wasn't always this way. We've had many, many disagreements. But at the end of the day, she knows, like, this is all just political baloney and the victims of violence and their families are used for political gain and for, you know, grandstanding. And it's hard because she has to live every day with the reality that her son is gone and no gun ban, no gun rule, no gun law is that would have stopped that and will never bring him back, of course. So yeah. I don't know. It just...
She's a courageous lady, and that's
she really is.
That's a pretty courageous thing to say. And you know, I've had my differences with Evelyn on Twitter years ago. It's been a long time because I think when she first got active, she bought into what the gun control people were telling her, and then she started getting challenged, and she heard from our side, and her and I had a couple of disagreements because I'm like, no. Yeah, you don't get just to say this is reality just by saying it. It has to be reality. And
right.
So anyway, we butted heads a couple times. And you know, and now in the last couple of years, she's looked into it herself. I mean, she went out of her way to talk to people, which I have to congratulate her for. I mean, that takes a lot of strength, a lot of courage, instead of just becoming completely ideological and considering everyone that disagrees with you evil. And now she's like, you know, it's funny because she's one of the people, along with Marcel Wilson. I don't intend to speak for Marcel, but he said this, and I've got some video of him saying it. You know, a lot of these victims groups and a lot of the real authentic victims are pissed off because the anti-gunners come, they co-opt them, they use them. And if they stop talking about gun control like Evelyn did, they just toss them to the side.
Oh, yeah.
Like an old pair of shoes that are worn out and they could care less. And, you know, same thing with the media. The Globe and Mail isn't calling Evelyn up for interviews. You know, she's not towing the party line. So, you know, you're no longer relevant, right? And
oh, yeah.
And I sit back and I watch all this stuff and I'm like, wow, these people are really something, man.
You've got some articles floating around right now, some editorials, actually. There's one by the Toronto Star editorial panel, and one as well by the Globe and Mail. And, you know, of course, they're quoting the usual Heidi Ratchin, and, you know, and she's in there as some sort of expert and, you know, victims group and stuff. But meanwhile, you've got a woman who held her son in her arms while he died from the injury from a gunshot wound and a drive-by shooting, or, you know, a downtown shooting that was never solved. She lost a child, you know, and nobody's going to her and talking to her about the, you know, what she thinks about the efficacy of a gun ban, or what is it that those communities need to start seeing a real positive change for public safety. Nobody's talking to her about it. And that's exactly it. This whole entire debate has been hijacked. And, if it hadn't been, this wouldn't be a debate. It would be a meaningful conversation and we'd find real solutions and the whole country could work together to make a positive difference. I know that sounds hokey, but I 100% believe it. 100% believe it.
Oh, yeah.
These players, you know, these ill-intentioned players, like these anti-gun groups, I blame them for hijacking that debate away from the people who could sit down and rationally, reasonably talk about what kind of measures would make a difference, you know?
Yeah, well, because they're ideological zealots. And, you know, it's funny because, you know, the Globe and Mail and the Toronto Star, they both come out with a handgun article together at the same time, and then you have the spin docs coming out with their national day of a Zoom meeting, and well, it's absurd. But anyway, whatever. They've really turned themselves into an absurd group. But it's funny, and I did read those articles because that's our business. We have to. We do it so you don't have to. And and one of the authors, whoever, they never put their names, right? They always got to put like editorial board. It's like, because nobody wants to put their name on it, I guess. I don't know. Right. And they're like, handguns are the bane of our city. And I'm like, you moron.
Yeah.
Criminals are the bane of your city. Like, what is wrong with you? Take all the guns away. You still got the criminals. They're going to go to the states and get them 100% instead of 70%. Or they're going to make them, right? There was just a big full auto gun illegal manufacturing operation busted recently in Canada. You know, mm-hmm. Or they're going to fly them in on planes, or they're going to, like, if drugs can get into Canada, if heroin can get in, because you don't grow it here, you grow it in Afghanistan and other Middle Eastern countries where the climate's favorable and the labor's cheap, they grow heroin out there, right? Poppies. Yeah. And somehow this stuff by the metric ton gets into Canada. And somehow, like, taking my gun away, there's going to be no gunplay. Like, geez, these people have a crime problem. Solve your crime problem and you've solved your gun problem. Anyway.
Yeah, 100%. And the problem is the real tragedy here is by, you know, people like the Globe and Mail editorial board and the Toronto Star joining in and carrying water for these anti-gun groups, you know, and setting up the political theater for left-wing politicians to come in and, of course, do gun grabs in the name of public safety. At the end of the day, you still have people like Evelyn and Marcel and all these people out there that are literally just trying to survive and trying to make it through, you know, these horrible experiences. And it blows my mind because they're just sort of left to the wayside because they won't tow the line or carry the water for these groups. And it's savage.
Yeah. I mean, they're the victims, the real victims are in the middle, looking left and right, looking at us and the anti-gunners fighting with each other. And like, what the hell is going on here? You can only imagine what it must be like for them, right?
We're
the ones getting shot over here.
Yeah. You know? Right. Like they must be just thinking like, what is wrong with both sides really? And
I can't even imagine.
I mean, I don't know. Something's gotta change. And I don't know. I'm going to continue to think about that. And that there's some stuff we can do. That Doctor's Day of Action, that's going to be some kind of Zoom video. They'll play it twice. I don't know. It probably won't be any more successful than their last day of action. So it's not really worth talking about.
They've turned into a completely absurd group, you know. I don't know if I mentioned, I don't think I mentioned it before, but I'll mention it now. I did a back and forth for Alberta Views magazine. And basically when they contacted me, they said, hey, you know, we're going to have somebody on the anti-gun side and somebody and you on the pro-gun side. And basically here's how it works. You write 900 words or 700 words and you both write it. We publish it both at the same time. Then you get to see what each other wrote and you get to do a response of 500 words at the same time. And then so there's no direct back and forth, only one opportunity to refute what the other's saying.
Okay.
And they said, you know, your opposing view is Najma Ahmed, right? And I'm like, oh, this is going to be awesome, right? Because she's so easy to refute, right? Because it's all gibberish, right?
Yeah.
And so anyway, I was waiting and waiting and waiting, and this magazine just hadn't come out. And in fact, it's weird because I thought about it probably 3 days ago, and I thought, you know, that maybe it was COVID or something happened. They never brought that, they never published that article. Well, apparently their Alberta Views magazine's Twitter feed did a little screenshot and they said, hey, you know, November 1st, this is coming out. And so Najma goes, she goes on to Twitter. And because I said a lot of the arguments of anti-gun groups are based around emotional appeals. And then basically she said that, you know, she tweets that obviously telling women that they're emotional is a very old way of trying to shut them up. Like I'm some kind of misogynist.
Right? Oh, please.
And so of course she's getting savaged. I mean, and you know, it's funny because no matter how many times I disagree with them on facts and they call us racist and misogynists and white supremacists and xenophobes and everything that it's such a cry bully, weak tactic by people who just can't form an argument. And it's funny because, you know, how do you tell which side of this debate is legitimate? Which group of people do you think really cares about the issues and wants a safer Canada? Like truly, right? No, you know, no taglines, no slogans. Like who truly really cares? Well, it's us, because despite all this crap, you know, she doesn't know me. She doesn't know anything about me. But despite calling me a misogynist and then Lynn Wilson, her friend, calling us racists for disagreeing with them flat out, you know, I still extend my hand and say, you know what? I'm willing to forget all this garbage. Let's sit down together. You can sit down with some real experts on the gun file. You guys are medical experts and let's work on this together. Like it's never too late to reverse course, but with them, they will never reverse course because they're so egotistical and so ideological and such broken people. They could never reverse course. They will burn it all down before they ever admit that they might have said something that was inaccurate.
And totally.
It's a disservice. It's a tragedy. It's a Canadian tragedy. But what an incredibly, what's the word I'm looking for? I'm trying not to be too strong and not too weak, but what is just a broken group of people? It's really too bad.
Well, and it is too bad. And here's the thing is if you can't, your job was literally to respond to her original piece, right? That's what you were asked to do. And it is a very emotional topic. And for the record, I'm a female. They've got Dr. Alan Drummond on their executive. I have no problem saying he is also emotional and irrational. And it shows in his tweets every single day. So it's got nothing to do with gender here. It doesn't matter if you're a man, woman, or what color you are. There are people who are willing to look at the data, look at the facts, have a rational conversation about what steps we could take to make positive change. And there's other people that are just, you know, flailing around, freaking out, you know, ban everything. It's just, It just blows my mind.
Yeah. But, people that disagree with me are literally Hitler. Literally.
Literally. Like,
literally. 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 Disingenuous is the word I should have used. Just completely disingenuous. Anyway, you know what? The thing about them is they have barely any platform whatsoever. No one really pays attention. The only reason they get any attention whatsoever is because the Liberal government needs someone in a white coat to run out and lie to Canadians and to try to fool them into supporting this stuff. So, absolutely. You know, if it weren't for that, nobody would even know who they were.
The majority of their followers are gun owners. So let's not provide them any more of our people or platforms. So,
well, yeah, they don't, that we're their only claim to fame, really. Even when you look down their Twitter feed, it's CCFR all day long. It's Rod Giltacka. It's Tracy Wilson. Like this. Yeah. It's funny. I think they're just high on the fact that the Liberals are in power. God help them if the Liberals are ever not in power, because nobody will, they'll forget about them in 10 minutes.
Oh yeah. I will guarantee that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anyway, I could go on about how ineffective they truly are all day, but they don't deserve it. All right. You're going to be appearing in a TV show doing some hunting.
I'm going to go do some hunting with the Canadian Sportswomen's Society. So I met these girls actually when I was out in the GTA last for the Odell Industry Range Day. I met these two great girls. I think Jamie I've met before, but I met Jamie and Lorianne. These girls are a bundle of fun. They're a bundle of energy. They're loud and proud and a ton of fun. And they were asking me about going bird hunting, like waterfowl hunting. And I said, to be perfectly honest, I've never really done it. I'm more of a big game hunter. You know, it's kind of a zen thing. You're out in the bush. I'm, you know, 20 feet up a tree with a rifle. I could spend the rest of my life up there, right? I love it. And they're like, oh, if you think that's fun, you're going to love bird hunting. It's high energy, tons of shooting. You know, deer hunters, you're lucky to get one or two shots off a year. Duck hunting, it's like, it's crazy, right? It's just an all-out slaughter. So I said, okay, I'm going to come out and try it. So I've got my gear. Big thanks to Phil Odell at Odell Industries. He is sending me along with the Canuck Hunter, I believe it's called, their hunting shotgun. So I'm going to take it with me, and he's providing me the ammo as well. And I'm going to go out with Jamie and Lorianne, and they're going to teach me how to have a blast, literally, shooting a whole bunch of waterfowl. So watch for, and I maybe do a little video interview with them. I'm going to have a bunch of social media posts, and then of course it'll be in a episode of their upcoming show. So yeah, that's going to be fun. I'm really excited to go see them, and I'm bringing them some CCFR camo hats. And speaking of which, watch for new multicam trucker hats in the online store. Should be up there within a week or two, so watch for those. You'll see them in my social media posts first, because I got them before anybody else did. So that's a lot of fun. So that's what's going on. I will be on the road tomorrow on my way there. And I'll be sharing the good times as I roll along.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. Awesome. Yeah, I'm told that bird hunting's a lot of fun. I still have yet to ever go hunting. Someday I will.
The way they explained it to me, and they said, you know, when you're deer hunting or whatever, you know, you're just very quiet and you've got to sit still and you're up a tree and you're alone. Like, I've spent 17 hours up a tree by myself freezing, right? And I love it, but on the other hand, I also kind of like a lot of action, right? And she's like, oh, if you want action, she's like, you know, we go in a big group and you can talk basically right until the birds are coming in. And then, you know, y'all hold off and you start blasting together and it's just raining. And I'm like, oh boy, that does sound fun. So yeah, I'm going to go check that out on Saturday in Hanover, which is just on the other side of Toronto. It's a bit of a drive. But these girls are a blast, and they spend literally every weekend, all season, taking out new people and showing them the sport. So I can't wait.
Awesome. Do you know what network it's on?
I don't. I will find all that out, though, and watch my totally unprepared. I will find that out and get it out on social media, though.
Awesome. But, yeah. Well, we've been going for a little while, but there's one more thing we got to talk about, and it's polling.
Yeah. So. Okay, so all the anti-gun groups are always like, you know, all the polls show that 80% of Canadians really support this gun ban, and they've got the Leger polls and these different opinion polls, right? So I see people, whenever I put out these polls or the results of them, people are always saying, you know, well, I've never been polled. Nobody ever called me. And I'm thinking, well, nobody's ever called me either. Like, literally, I'm 48 years old. Nobody's ever called me for a poll. So who is being polled, and how are the polling companies finding them? So I went on to legeropinion.com. And I thought, I'm going to investigate and see, how do I become a person that is contacted for polls? So I signed up. I made an account. Basically, just need your name and your email address. And I thought, I'm just going to try it out and see. And maybe I'll get these polls and maybe I'll just complete the gun ones or political ones, stuff of interest, right? So sure enough, I sign up for these Leger Opinion polls. And next thing you know, my email inbox starts filling up with all these different. But it just says a survey awaits you. It's a subject of general interest. It tells you how long it's going to be. Most of these are like 20 or 25 minutes long. You know, you get these little reward points, which I'm not entirely sure what you do with them afterwards. But the point is, it's not like when I think of them saying, you know, 80% of Canadians, I think of going somewhere, seeing a big, broad, diverse group of people, you know, okay, here's 1,000 Canadians from every different walk of life you can imagine. Let's poll them. And that should, you know, maybe that should be a representative of what the majority of Canadians think. It's not like that at all. You literally sign up to these companies. So it's the same people filling out all the surveys, filling out all the questions, all the polls. I mean, I've done a couple just to try and see what they were, because the subject line didn't really give me a feel for what it was going to be. But it's everything from, you know, political issues like gun bans or abortion or whatever, all the way down to which laundry soaps you're using. Like, it's unbelievable. And I sit here looking at it and I'm like, really? Is this an accurate depiction of what 80% of Canadians are? I don't think so, because I can tell you, I don't know a soul who would, number one, have the time to sit here and fill these things out. 6 or 8 of them come in my inbox a day. So it's almost a full-time job. Number two, you know, the majority of Canadians, 22 million, are working. So what? How are they making the time to do this? And how would anybody actually be interested in spending what little spare time you do have doing this stuff? So from now on, when I see polls come out and it says, you know, 70% of Canadians, 80% of Canadians, I don't think, in my opinion, that that's accurate. I feel like that's pretty scammy. I think what's going on here is it's 80% of people who are signed up on legeropinion.com or whatever various polling company that are filling out these surveys. So, yeah, I don't know. I did not think that that's how it went, but this is my experience.
So maybe it's 80% of people that are just kind of milling around all day looking for something to do.
Yeah, like you have to willingly be wanting to get your opinion into these things because they're very time consuming. And a lot of, you know, I'm getting a lot of them in my inbox. I just can't imagine that this is representative of the average Canadian. I don't believe it. Plain and simple.
Well, interesting. Well, yeah. we know the role that polls play in all of this. I mean, you know, polls aren't designed for something as complex as firearm issues. You know, I don't even think they're designed for something as complex as abortion. It's a really, really complex topic. I think it's more like, you know, do you think Justin Trudeau overplays, you know, his fancy socks? I think that's the kind of stuff that, you know, that polls should be for. But anyway.
Or the laundry soap question. Like, yeah. I'm totally happy to comment on why I prefer Tide. I do. I prefer it. So
we're not getting any money from Tide. Next thing you know, it's going to be on somebody's Twitter feed. It's like, the NRA-inspired gun lobby is being funded by the laundry soap industry. Like, well, laundry soap, is that an indictment of some sort? It's like, yeah.
So we can launder our money, all our money. Yeah.
It's because there's some kind of financial thing there. Anyway, but all right. Well, thanks for the update. Thanks for everybody for hanging in for this long. It was a good update. And we'll see you next time. Tracy Wilson.
All right. See you later, Giltaka.
All right. That's going to do it for episode 78 of the CCFR Radio Podcast. Thanks to Tracy Wilson for coming on and all of her efforts. Really appreciate it. And, you know, I said it in my talk with Tracy. I said it in the intro. I know I'm beating this to death, but I'm telling you guys, if you really want results, you got to reach out to people in your life, send them these episodes, the web version, right? Go to the YouTube channel, CCFR YouTube channel, look for Gun Ban Canada Exposed and look at the title and say, hey, you know, is it really about safety? You really got to watch this. You have to do that one person at a time. Okay. That's what it takes. So please do that work. You know, I can't do it for you. If I could, believe me, I would. You know, I'm really desperate to get these people out of my life. So, you know, these, you know, the government and the gun grabbers, they just want to be left alone. So, you know, this is what I'm doing. This is what I can do. So, and then if you have other gun owners, your hunting buddies or whatever, tell them, give them this lecture. If they don't listen to the podcast, they're not CCFR members, I don't care. Get them over there to the YouTube channel, get them sharing this stuff and get them having conversations with people in their lives. You know, get your gun club to send this stuff out in their newsletter. It's really important. Like, I need you guys to put pressure on your clubs. Your clubs are one of the only ways that we can amplify our message. So, you know, a lot of clubs, they don't want to get into it, but they have no choice. If they get a ban on handguns, forget it. Clubs are gone. I already got notification that a few clubs apparently are having financial problems because people aren't renewing their memberships because they don't need it. You know, they're selling their guns or they're just not renewing their memberships for whatever reason. You know, clubs, it is critical to their survival that they help AR-50, well, not ARs anymore because they're prohib, but right, semi-autos and handguns, people that own those kinds of guns, those, that's the bread and butter of clubs other than trying to rent your facilities to law enforcement. So play an active part in holding on to your rights. You have to do it. Or like I said, don't be surprised if you lose everything. Don't be surprised if even the conservatives aren't going to help you. It's up to us to change the public mood, to change the public opinion. Nobody else can do it. It's only us. Anyway, thanks everybody for your support. If you want to become a member of the CCFR, go to firearmrights.ca and check that out. Look at Why Join and see all the stuff that we do. We're a very hardworking group. We squeeze maximum value out of every dollar that we can. And you can also support our court case, the largest and most comprehensive court case in Canadian history on behalf of gun owners. We did it as big as it could be done. And, you know, we got to do everything we possibly can. So I'd really appreciate your support. Other than that, take care, guys, and we'll see you next time.
This is another episode of the CCFR Radio Podcast. Remember, if you don't stand up for your own ability to own and use firearms, who will? Join the CCFR or donate right now at www.firearmrights.ca.